Hi everyone, Steve Hurst here, the partner with Dan Willinger and the webmaster for VentriloquistCentral.com. VentriloquistCentral.com was a brainchild of ours when we met back in July of 2006. In the beginning, the idea was to build a website that would showcase Dan's ventriloquist figure collection, one of the largest private collections in the world. We also wanted to share some historical information about ventriloquism as well at the time. In October of 2006, we started VentriloquistCentral.com. A few short years later, this website has grown to be the largest informational website dealing with the art of ventriloquism. And today, we're going to share more information with you.
Hi, it's Dan Willinger from Ventriloquist Central, and it's telephone talk time, and I'm happy to say that tonight we have as our guest Mark Wade from the convention, and I'm so excited to have you with us, Mark. Nice to have you.
Thanks, Dan. Glad to be with you tonight and all the listeners. I know we have a lot of fun and exciting things to talk about. It'll be a lot of fun tonight.
Right. So let's get right down to it. The dates for the Vent Haven Convention are?
They are July 18 to 21, and that's in the middle of July. It's always usually around the third week in July that we have it, and it's in a new location this year. Instead of the old drawbridge, which we've been there for 35 years, we decided to move just down the road a couple of miles to a place called Hebron, Kentucky, and in the new location is the Cincinnati Airport Marriott. And although it's in Kentucky, they still call it the Greater Cincinnati area. Therefore, it's Cincinnati and in Kentucky,
right,
of all things.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I mean, it'll be a big change, but I don't think it's going to hurt the convention at all. That's for sure.
I don't think so. We've been having the drawbridge has had its issues the last few years. You know, it was an independently owned outfit, and it changed hands many, many times, and a lot of promises were made, and a lot of things weren't done. And it just came to the point that our contract was close enough to the end that I could do something about it. So this
right.
is the year I'm going to take the plunge. And so we signed a contract with the Marriott for a couple of years, and we'll see how they do and see if we can renew them if they do a good job.
Sure. Now, I have to ask you, because it's one of the questions everybody talks about, and that's eating space. Will they have...
Sure.
I mean, it's always been a problem.
Food's always important.
It's a problem at the drawbridge, but how is it going to be at the airport hotel? At
like I said, I went down and we checked it out. Jerry and I went down, stayed overnight. Ken Gross went down with us on one of the trips and stayed with us. And we had a chance to sample the restaurant. The restaurant is just an excellent, excellent restaurant that they have in there. It's the people that work at the restaurant and the chef has been there ever since the place opened about 6 years ago. So it's a relatively brand new facility. Now, one of the things I did to help us out, because as you and I know, and anybody who goes out to hotels, hotel food can be a little pricey sometimes.
Right.
This year at the convention, we're going to have a breakfast bar available, we're going to have a lunch bar, and we're even thinking about maybe having a dinner bar, like a smorgasbord type thing. But we'll see.
Right.
The dinner is not definite yet, but definitely lunch and breakfast will be there, so you can go through and get some items, and it'll be reasonable things, you know, like $3 items and $4
right.
items, things like that. So that'll
that's
help.
Perfect.
Down the road, about 3 or 4 miles away, is the McDonald's, and you're only about 5 to 7 minutes away from where we were up on Buttermilk Pike, where the other convention location was, where they had all those eatery
right.
places.
Yes.
And there's
yes.
a subway at the next exit down. So there's things right there, but not things immediate to the... There's no walking restaurant, let's put it that
no
way.
No walking. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
well, that's okay. As long as there's places to eat at the hotel and they're going to accommodate, that's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely.
Now, I just wanna,
we tried to make it...
Go ahead. It's going to be
reasonable, and it's going to be available, and it'll be quick in, quick out, and you can spend as little or as much as they want to spend.
We'll try
to make it affordable for everybody.
Right. I did want to mention to everybody that's listening, we will be taking questions, but first we want to let Mark talk and tell us about the convention, and then after a bit, then we'll open it up for some questions for people to talk to Mark, okay? Tell us about this fantastic lineup that we have this year for the convention.
Our theme this year is called New Beginnings for an obvious reason. After 35 years at the Drawbridge, we have a brand new beginning at our new location. So the theme this year is New Beginnings, and we've got quite a lineup here. It's very high pedigree of ventriloquists coming in. We've got Ron Lucas, who has not been there for a number of years. He'll be there with us. We've got Nina Conte, who's from England, very, very good ventriloquist that they've seen. We have, of course, Jeff Dunham's a standard feature just about every year with us.
Right.
And Sammy King will be there. Bill DeMar will be there. If you look on our list here, that like a who's who of the ventriloquists that are professional that are working.
Right.
We have a documentary film that was done last year with Gary Hunter, and it's going to be premiered at the convention this year. So we'll get a chance to see the documentary, which has a very good chance, from what I've understood, of being seen on HBO. So we're kind of crossing our fingers there. So we got a lot of great talent coming in, good lectures, good performances, shows every night. We have four shows this year. Every night has a show.
Right.
So that'll be great.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. One of my favorite people in ventriloquism I also see is going to be doing his show, and that's Bob Isaacson, which I was
Bob did such a nice job, and he has done such a nice job, of course. You know, I said, you know, he should go on the Saturday night show. So I talked to Ken and Jody. We talked it out a little bit and said, let's offer Bob a spot. And so we did, and he'll be for Saturday night show this year. He's just a terrific guy and a wonderful ventriloquist.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I was thrilled when I saw that. Yeah, no, that's terrific. So the lineup is just, it's just about the best, and you can't shake a stick at it. I mean, there's just so many great people that are going to be performing. My gosh. And
missed getting Terry Fader again this year. I talked to Terry, and unfortunately the way the schedule was, he had used up most of his vacation, and he needed some days to come out. But I got a promise from him he'll be there with us in 2013, so he'll be there next year.
Right. Oh, well, that's good. The lineup is so great this year anyways. I mean, you're not going to be lacking for anybody, I mean, it's great.
No. We have to save a few people in reserve, so to speak, that are very, very good as well. So I want to shoot them all at once here. So this is great to have a nice backup.
Now, I get a lot of people who ask me. I get lots of people email into Ventriloquist Central thinking that they're getting to the Vent Haven. I'll tell you that. And of course, I forwarded things to you. But I did want to say people have asked me about bringing their ventriloquist figures and walking around with them. And I've always said if you want to carry it with you, carry it with you. But why don't you give us your thoughts about that, Mark? I do have people ask me that all the time.
We encourage people to bring their vent figures because there's some of the lectures and some of the workshops where they encourage you to bring them so you can do some manipulation. You can show somebody out maybe in the lobby what you're doing, those kind of things. The only thing that we'd ask is not to be obnoxious with the vent figures when you're walking around because the hotel have other guests there as well, and not everybody wants to see you perform. And so, just use a lot of good common sense and good judgment, and I think you'll be fine. We used to have them bring them in the restaurants and annoy the waitresses with their puppets, and we don't want to have a reputation of being an annoying crowd. I don't think we'll do that, and we really haven't had that problem for probably a dozen years.
Right.
So we do want them to bring their figures because we have the group photo, and it's always fun to go back and look over the years and see, what puppet somebody had. In fact, even some of the specialty people have their own groups. The Axtell group has some. Tim Selberg has his group of people. Conrad Hartz, people that own different figures made by these ventriloquist figure makers. It's good to have like a group photo of them as well.
Right. The other thing that we should talk about is the dealer's room. Now, is it going to be the same? Are you going to have two separate rooms at the new location, or will it just be one big room?
Well, we had hoped to have one big room, but the way the place is configured is very, very much like the drawbridge with the meeting rooms. So what we've done is taken two rooms, one on each end of the main ballroom, and that'll be accordioned off like the other place, and we'll have dealer's rooms again, one on each side. Everything is more compact this year. This hotel is, you go up and down on an elevator. That's how that works. And so you don't have to worry about having to walk 10 miles to get to your room and then coming back and doing something else. So, yeah, it's everything's very compact in that area, and it's going to work out really nicely for us, I think.
You are listening to an exclusive interview found on VentriloquistCentral.com.
Oh, that's terrific. That's terrific. Is the dealer's rooms filled out? How many dealers are we going to have, you know?
We're going to have, we're filled up right now, and this is only the middle of February, and we've got about 18 or 19, and we only can fit in about 26 to 28.
Right.
So, we're really getting filled up fast. So,
right.
That's good. And we got some of the leading figure makers and puppet makers there, Marianne Taylor, and we'll have Tim Selberg and Axtell and some people like that that are really top-notch folks.
Right, right. Well, that's fantastic.
You
have another special ventriloquist who's coming for the first time to the convention, and we should talk about him a little bit. People might not remember him. Of course, I remember him from seeing him on television all the time. But Jim Teeter is going to be coming. And
yes, I'm so delighted. We tried for years to get him, but he was working constantly, doing a lot of cruise ship work. He does the presidential dummies. For those that don't know who he is,
right.
And he started clear back. He told me his first one was President Kennedy. And he's just worked forward from there, retiring the ones when the president passed away. He retired that puppet, of course. So
right.
He's going to do a little bit with some of his presidential puppets and be on a couple of panels for us.
That's terrific. I can't wait to see him. I mean, that's
he sent me some photographs, and the guy that makes those puppets for him, those ventriloquist figures, are just outstanding. They're so lifelike and so detailed oriented, even putting the hairs in the head. It's not like a crepe wig going on in one of the old-fashioned puppets, I'll tell you that. This is really high-quality stuff.
Wow, that's great. And then the other thing I like to let people know is how you transport everybody over to the museum. You do the museum on Saturday. And,
right, and we have a bus company that comes in, and we get round-trip tours over to the museum. In other words, you walk out in front of the hotel, you pick up the bus, you go over to Venthaven, you visit for a while. You climb back on the bus when it makes its trip back over. So it's like continuous round trips going to and from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. So we have a 3-hour window in there that they can go over and to see the museum. And so we always try to provide that every year, Dan, so they can see what we're doing.
Right, right. That's fantastic. All right, now
a lot of great changes at the museum as well. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but hesitation on these phones. But like I said, a lot of great changes, a lot of good new things they've been working on. If you've not been to the museum in a while, they've opened up some of the walls. They've taken the library and readjusted it a bit. We still have some things there, but it's a lot more display space and a lot of improvements, huge improvements. This is the best the museum has ever been, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, now the other thing that I was just going to touch on, we've talked for the first 15 minutes about the Venthaven Convention, which I definitely wanted to do. But I also wanted to talk to you about Mark Wade and and what Mark Wade does. Now, you are a professional ventriloquist, and your specialization is doing library shows. Is that libraries and schools? Is that correct?
Well, I'm a children's ventriloquist. A lot of people rate me as the number one children's ventriloquist in the country. I don't know if that's all true or not, but I do okay. And so we travel a lot doing shows. We do probably 450 shows a year, and primarily in schools and libraries, but we also have other venues that we do as well. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I've been doing it. This is my 33rd year full-time of doing these shows.
That's fantastic. And you're located now out of Ohio.
We lived in New York for just a short while, and then we're back here in central Ohio based out of the Columbus area. Actually, the town is Grove City, which is one of the suburbs of Columbus.
Okay. And I'll promote for you, you have complete sets of instructions on ventriloquism, and why don't you let people know what they can, if they're interested in learning about children's vent and learning ventriloquism itself, talk about what you have to offer.
Well, I was very fortunate. The Maher course is the course, I feel, on learning ventriloquism, and I was very honored a number of years ago probably about 6 or 8 years ago that the mayor people, Clinton Detweiler, came to me and asked me to do the DVD that goes along with the mayor course. So if you buy the mayor course now, you get to see my mug on there teaching you some of the basics of ventriloquism, the mayor method as we like to call it. So we have that, and I've got a couple of other DVDs out on the market as well, one on children's performing, and something new that we're doing, two new things actually. I have a mentoring program now for people that would like to learn how to do shows for children on a full-time or almost full-time basis. They come here in Ohio, they spend 3 days with me, they go out on shows, we have classroom time right here at our condo, and I work hand-in-hand with them on writing comedy, whatever they want. And our other thing is, back to comedy writing, I am starting to write comedy material for people that want some routines or anything from a routine up to a full show, mm-hmm. can write for them. So that's something else new that we're doing.
That's terrific. That's it. You know,
yeah, I'm real happy.
when people get started, that's the one thing that they don't have is material. I mean, everybody seems to start off with Bill Boley's books, you know, because you can buy them and he's got plenty of routines and you throw your own a little twist on it, and you do it. But you know, having good material—that's the key. That's the key.
Yeah, so. You're absolutely right, Dan. And I've seen that so many times going to other conventions. You go to a clown convention, they always want to buy another pair of shoes or another nose or a wig. You go to a magician's convention, they always want to buy the next magic trick. You go to an event convention, they want to buy the next ventriloquist figure or puppet. But they've got to learn what they use what they have. So it's important to have material to back up the good things that you have. You probably have a gold mine on your shelf that you don't even realize you have.
Right. If you just think about it and put a character together for it, you're all set. Put a pair of glasses on it, change the wig, put on a new suit, you got another character.
It's worked out extremely well to be able to help people with that. They bring their puppets out here when they come for the mentoring, and I show them what they can do with it, and we work together. I just don't do it for them. I let them actually go through, and we learn how to make something work for them. And when they leave, they've got some material. They've got maybe a new start on a puppet.
Okay. Well, if folks have a paper and pencil handy, I hope they do. But why don't you give some information so how they can contact you so that if they want to participate in your mentoring, they can do so. So go ahead.
All right. The best way to contact me is through my email, and my email is markwade, M-A-R-K-W-A-D-E, markwade@kidshowvent.com, K-I-D-S-H-O-W-V as in Victor, E-N-T, kidshowvent.com. Of course, kidshowvent, short for kidshow ventriloquist.
Right.
That's my email, or they can just give me a call on my phone. I'll give my cell number out here, 614-551-8842. So those are two good ways to contact me, and they can also find me on Facebook as well.
Well, that's good. There you go. Okay, so folks, there you have it. If you need some mentoring, you want some jokes, Mark's your man. He'll be able to help you out and put you on the right track. That's terrific.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Ian. Thanks.
I'll just add that, you know, because we get a lot of emails, and if nobody has any they didn't write that down. If you send us through one of our email or our contact information, we'll definitely forward it to Mark and make sure he gets it.
Yes, definitely.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate that as well. That's awfully nice of you, too, to help me with that. Thank you.
Sure. No,
there's going to be a commission involved, so hey.
There's money involved. Well, I kind of thought that was coming next. I didn't want to say anything, but that night is kidding. That's fine. We'll take care of you.
Okay. Now, I do have a couple of other things that I wanted to ask about the new location for the Vent Haven Convention. And that's, is there going to be a hospitality suite like we used to have at the Drawbridge?
Absolutely. We've got a nice hospitality suite, and we have a boardroom that goes along with the hospitality suite so we can expand out. And on top of that, we have an atrium out in the lobby area, which is like a sunken atrium with tables and chairs and whatnot. So we'll have plenty of room to spread out and have a good time after hours. And so I've talked to Bob Hamill and Marty and Philip Jones, and they've already had a chance to stop and see the hotel when they were traveling through. And Bob was just thrilled with the space that we have kind of set up for him. So I think it's going to work out just nicely. I'm telling everybody all these things, but they have to understand this is a learning curve for me as well.
Oh,
after 35
sure.
years at the drawbridge, and someone's going to say, where is something? I may have to tell them, let me find out, because I probably won't know everything about the hotel just yet. So we're going to learn kind of all together on this.
Terrific, terrific. All right, now let's see. Steve, why don't you let people know how they can call in for talking with Mark and asking some questions. All right.
Okay. If anybody, we'll see if we can get some questions lined up here. If you would like to talk to Mark, ask him questions about his career or ventriloquism or the Van Haven Convention, what you need to do is you press *7 on your phone, and then you will be instructed, I think, to press 1, and then a little icon will pop up on my screen here, and I'll see that you raised your hand and want to ask a question. And then we'll get to all the questions as soon as we can.
Okay.
That's great. A classroom right on the air here. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's see if anybody chimes. A lot of times people are bashful. They'll listen, but they don't like to ask questions. But that's okay.
Well, that's okay.
All right. So now let's see. Continuing on with my questions for you.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The hotel itself, I know, it's called the Airport Hotel, but is it located in the Cincinnati Airport, or is it off the airport grounds?
Well, it's called the Greater Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport. Their stationery must be at least 8.5 by 15 inches long just to get the masthead on there. But
right.
It's right there. That airport is actually located in Hebron, Kentucky, and it's exactly 1 mile from our hotel.
Oh, okay.
And, and they have a free shuttle service, and they can be down there and back in less than 5 minutes to get you at the airport and take you right up to the hotel.
Oh,
and,
terrific. That's great.
So, yeah, and in fact, I saw 3 vans there, so I know they have plenty. When you get in, all thing you need to do is call the Cincinnati Airport Marriott. They'll come and get you. It's
they'll
a
come
free
and get
shuttle,
you.
So that's, yeah, there's no cost involved there at all.
That's terrific. That's right, because I remember the drawbridge had them, but, boy, it was a tough thing to get it over, to get on there and go over. They just didn't run enough of them. But
not faulting the drawbridge, but they just like I said before, kind of fell behind on some things, and that's too bad. But they were good in their time. But this outfit is really first class all the way, and I think we have a first class convention, and we deserve a first class hotel.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. All right. It appears we have some questions. So, Steve, why don't you take our first question for us, okay?
Okay. I think we got that guy in Staten Island. I have no idea who that could be, but let me unmute this guy and let's see who we got on the line here. Staten Island, go for it. Hello?
No.
Oh, good.
No, hey, Petey, how are you?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. We're doing good. Just talking on the air here, talking about the convention a little bit, trying to get a few plugs in, a few more people to come. We're right at here.
Very exciting this year. Very looking forward to the new venue, especially.
Yeah, Pete's on our roster as well. Like I said, it's a who's who of ventriloquists coming, and Pete's one of our standbys every year that comes and helps and pitches in and as anything and everything.
Who's Pete? Yeah, and the wonderful Stacy will be with us this year. Hallelujah.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad. I'm glad she's coming. Because last year we had a problem with vacation time, so I'm glad she got that worked out.
Yeah, thank God. Hello, Dan. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Pete. Good to hear from you.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Pete.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Jim Teeter again. Haven't seen him in a while, of course. Uncle Bob, Grandpa Isaacson, and of course Jeff, and the whole crew. It's going to be so nice just to be in a different place, other than, as Werner used to call it, that brown place.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, now I do have a question. That's a technical question, but are they going to have plenty of air conditioning? That's what I want to know.
You know what? That's one thing I asked them. First thing I said, I don't want to hear any excuses about. The air conditioning guy's on the way. They just need a part. I don't want to hear about parts. I want to hear about cool air coming out. And they said that they've got it more than covered. And after you see the place, you'll have no no question in your mind. They've got what they need. It's just absolutely wonderful.
That's great. That's great.
Beautiful hotel. It's only 6 years old, so the hotel term is like practically brand new. And the nice thing about being a Marriott brand, I sound like I'm a spokesman for them here, but the Marriott brand, they go in every year and do things on each of their hotels. And this one especially, they just did the parking lot last year. They put all new carpeting in the ballroom. It has the new carpet smell when you walk in, which is wonderful. And it's just amazing how they keep that place up. It's just wonderful.
That's terrific. All right, well, we have another caller with another question. So, Steve, can you bring our next caller in?
Okay, Pete, thanks a lot.
Okay, I'll see you soon,
see you,
Mark.
Pete.
All right,
buddy. Pete. Take care. See ya.
See ya, Pete.
For more interviews and information about ventriloquists, the art of ventriloquism, and other ventriloquial topics, go to www.ventriloquistcentral.com.
Okay, and for all you that are on the line, holding on, if you'll hold, we'll get to you. Next question is from Virginia, Reston, Virginia. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
You're there.
Hey, I was wondering, there are very limited videos or information about the open mic sessions online. Is there any way... any resources I could use to get a feel for what it would be like?
Well, we've had some issues with people being videoed. You know, we can do a video for someone if they want to share it. It's going to be on an individual basis with the professional ventriloquist. It's always been kind of a bugaboo about showing them and putting their things on there. And I know you're talking about the open mic sessions, general and senior and junior open mic. And it's kind of on an individual basis. We allow them to videotape only themselves, nobody else, because of privacy and whatnot. And right. If they want to share it, yes. I just wish there was some way we could do a sample up there. Maybe that's a thought we can put in the crock pot and see if we can come up with something. Maybe film somebody and show them exactly what, kind of walk them through step by step. It's probably a great idea that we might want to investigate this year.
Mm.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the call. There we go,
yeah,
Mark. There's some food for thought. Mark that down.
I will. I take notes all the time.
Yeah, right.
You two feel a little bit of time. I got to figure out who these callers are. They're coming in fast and furious here. So hold on.
Go ahead, Steve. Throw your hand up and let's see if someone grabs on.
Well, I'll tell you what. Right. I'll just I usually look these up, but this one is Michigan. Area code 269, you're on the air now.
Hello, how are y'all doing?
Great.
I'm doing
great.
Fine.
I got a quick question because I know you're busy. When you sell your puppets, what do you have to have, or how many, or how hard is it to get in there? I'm a newbie on selling puppets. I've never been to a convention. I don't think I'll be ready this year. Bring puppets, but the following year I probably will be able to. Like I said, I do manufacture my own puppets, so I was wondering how you get into the dealer's room.
Okay, in order to be a dealer at the vent convention, we have kind of an open policy on that. Only thing we ask is any item you bring in has to be ventriloquist-oriented. You know, we don't want somebody bringing in things that looks like a yard sale in our dealer's rooms, and we've had some of that in the past. What we do is this. You have to be a registered attendee of the convention. That means you have to register for it. And then you can buy up to two dealer's tables. The tables are $90 for the first table and $75 for the second table. But if you only need one table, it'd just be the $90. So be registered and pay your $90. And you can come into our dealer's room and set up. What we try to do is we turn it over to Marianne Taylor. She's my dealer's coordinator. She's the master puppet maker over in Virginia. And she's one that kind of handles all that and sets up the arrangements in the room, who's going to be where and whatnot. Because sometimes we don't want to put two like dealers side by side. It's not very good for either one of them. So we try to find out what you do, what you have to offer, and then we try to arrange the room to make everybody comfortable. But it's open to you. It's open to anybody that has something, as long as it's ventriloquist-oriented.
Okay. How many benefits would you have to bring along on something like that?
I'm sorry?
How many puppets should you have as stock to bring things along on something like that?
Well, it depends on you. I've seen people have the table full to overflowing. I've seen people with half a dozen puppets on their table. It just depends on what you have and how much you have to offer. It's up to you. I would think the more the merrier to get your money back that you paid for your dealer's tables and registration. So it depends on how many you have available. I would say probably at least 10 or 15, I would guess, at this point, enough to fill up your table. You want a nice, rounded-looking dealer's table with plenty of things for people to look at.
Okay. How much
that's
is
just a guess from my point of view. Not being a dealer, that's just a guesstimate.
Okay. How much is registration, please?
Registration is $125 for the primary family member, and if you have a wife or a spouse or a significant other or just a cousin or a friend you'd like to bring with you, we charge the second person with your registration $95. So it's $125 for the first person, $95 for the second person, and then, of course, your fees that you would pay for your dealer's tables.
Okay. Well, you've been very helpful. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it this year. But you mark me for next year, I'm going to have to put back for it. I'm what you call a starving artist.
Well, that's okay. That's all right. You know, we encourage
welcome,
new people to come to the convention, and we encourage new puppet makers to come.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. You've been very informative. Break
well, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thanks again.
Break a leg.
Okay.
Thank you. I think the term for ventriloquist is break a string, but I didn't want to correct him.
That's right.
Oh, break a tongue. But anyway, looks like we got somebody here from, I'm thinking it's around L.A. or in California. Could be wrong. 816. No, I'm wrong. It's not California. 816. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing, Dan? How you doing, Steve?
Hello.
I got to mute this call.
You let me through, Mark. It's Ron Shear up in Kansas City area. Hey, I want to say,
hey, Ron, how are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Well, I want to ask you a little bit. It's good. It's always good to hear your voice, Mark.
Thanks.
I want to go back and ask you a personal question here.
Sure.
Did you or how do you decide on for your children's shows, which you do mostly? How do you decide which figure fits your material, or do you figure out the material that fits the figure, or which way do you go on that?
It's kind of like which came first, the chicken or the egg. You know, they're both important,
exactly.
Or you wouldn't have anything. So, what I try to do is when I set up my show, I try to figure out where I'm going with it. For example, this year we're doing a show called Personal Choices and You. And one of the things I talk about in that particular program is about anti-bullying, about how sharks do what's called a pass-by nibble. They'll go by and test something out in the water to see if they want to attack it. Well, bullies do the same thing. So that kind of lent itself to me to come up with a shark character. And so we came up with a shark named Sammy, and we used the shark. We made him friendly to kids. I try to make all my puppets child-friendly. You want the puppet to be smaller than the smallest person in the room, which are usually the kindergartners up front. So most of my puppets are in the range of about 24 inches, maybe 26 at the most. And I always do soft puppets, not that I have anything against hard puppets. I just sometimes it spooks the little kids because of the size of them. They're usually 42 inches. I use the soft puppets, and I don't even put sharp teeth in them. One of the things I told Mary Ann Taylor when she made the shark, to give it square teeth like a person and don't give it, you know, either reptilian eyes or a shark-looking eye, give it kind of a cartoony-looking eye. So I try to design all my puppets in a kind of cartoony way for the kids. Anyway, then, you know, that's why I wrote the material then to fit the shark's personality. And sometimes to take an edge off of a puppet like that that may be, you know, a tad bit scary to little kids, I try to give them kind of a goofy voice or kind of a voice that would, you know, not send them up the wall when you bring the puppet out. So I usually try to come up with the idea of what the show's going to be about, the premise of that particular routine. Then I create the puppet and the voice about the same time. Sometimes I experiment with the voice, and when I'm doing the voice, I say, hey, you know, I can imagine what this guy might look like. He might have buck teeth and, you know, big eyes, or he might have this or that or the other. And so, yeah, I put it all together that way, and that seems to work for me. That's not saying you can't have inspiration when you go to the vet convention and find a soft puppet or even a hard figure that really looks good and you want to use it. You have some kind of an idea on how to use it. So I did that one time. I bought a stock puppet. I don't usually do that. I try to get things custom made so I don't see it coming down the road at me from some other direction with another ventriloquist. But I saw the puppet. Little gal there from Puppet World or Puppet Planet was there. Bought a little bird from her, liked it so well, I bought the rights to it. So that was taking a stock puppet because I had a place for the puppet, knew what I wanted to do with it, and it all just kind of came together. So it's kind of an experimental thing. Ron, you can take it that way with the routine itself, or you can take it back the other way and find a character that inspires you and you can write a routine around it. So it's kind of six of one and half a dozen of the other. I probably should have just said that besides talking for 10 minutes. I just should have said that to start with.
Great. Well, look forward to
I sound like a politician. I didn't say anything for 20 minutes there, but that's all.
Mark, look forward to seeing you in the gang. Steve, Dan, we'll see you a little later. I'll back out of here now.
Okay.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks for the call, Ron.
Thank you, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's good. Ron's a good guy. He is.
He is a good guy. I like him a lot.
He reminded me of something. Of course, you were talking about puppets, and I do know that at one time you used to use hard figure, and now Yeah, and now you use soft figures. And do you ever want to pull out the hard figure and use it anymore?
You know, I tell you, Dan, that's I get a hankering every once in a while for a hard figure, and I keep telling myself one of these days I'm going to corner my buddy Conrad Hartz and have him carve me something, and I get that every once in a while. When I first started out, I did children's shows, but I also worked as an opening act on the fair circuit for about 8 years. A lot of people only know me from the kid show stuff because that was my specialty. But I opened for Garth Brooks, Reba McEntire. I did all those kind of characters, all those kind of people with my characters out on the road for a number of years. I used hard figures there as well.
Right.
It fit the scene with what I was doing. And I think even now with the advent of some of the really creative new figure makers, I think you could actually get away with some hard puppets. One of the reasons I stay away from them, because I have to fly sometimes, and sometimes it's a little tough to fly with. And,
well, that's
be cool.
Yeah.
So that's why I do it. I can put those soft puppets in a bag, take them out, use a hairbrush on them, about 10 seconds, I'm ready to go, and I don't have to worry about anything breaking.
Okay. Well, that answers my question. okay, Steve, now do I think we have still more questions out there, don't we?
Yeah, we got another caller here. Unfortunately, they must have caller ID or it's anonymous is what is showing up. So I'm muting them, and anonymous or caller ID or whoever you are, you're on the air.
I forgot the line was muted. I'm sorry. Mark Truman on the outside, one of
Hey, Mark.
One of Mark's students.
We can also mute this one, can't we? Oh, go ahead,
Mark. Mark Truman was one of my mentoring students, and he's taken the program. It's worked out really well for him. He's done a great
Absolutely.
Job.
Absolutely. About ready to turn pro, and that we'll be talking about that later on, Mark.
good, sure.
To ask.
Is this the Mark and Mark show now? Oh, go ahead.
No.
You're on Mark. I can say that.
It's that dog show, Mark.
All good jokes. Yeah.
That hair lip dog thing, Mark.
That's right.
A question or an answer to the gentleman who called earlier about how to look at open mic. If he goes to YouTube and just types in Vent Haven Convention 2011, a lot of the guys that had their stuff taped is up there. He can get an idea. Basically, if you think about it, give us your best six. So you get six minutes to do a routine, and if not, then Bob Rumba, throw something at you. And we all stand up and turn our backs to you or something like that. But basically, you have 6 minutes to do your routine and do what you can. I do have a question that came from Kentucky, believe it or not, Mark. I have some folks that want to attend for one day this coming year, and they went to register. And they saw the one-day pass thing, but it didn't she was looking to see if they had to select the day. And the question came back is, how do they know which day I want to come, and is there something, or am I missing it?
Well, the best thing I would suggest them do, Mark, is to go on our website and download a copy of the event schedule. They can see what day is loaded. Saturday has a lot to do with going to the museum, and if they're coming to see workshops and shows, that day probably is not the best one for them.
They're looking at Saturday. Okay. Basically, because I'm going home with them afterwards.
Good. Well, that's a good idea then.
We don't need to know all this personal stuff. Okay. You know.
No, I'm. It's my aunt, and I'm introducing her to Vint to see, so she can see what her crazy nephew's up to, and she's coming up from Lexington to pick us up and take us out after convention's over. So they thought they'd come in Saturday and find out what it is and all of that. But she went to go buy her tickets, but she couldn't find a place that said which day she wanted to come.
Well, we kind of leave that open-ended on the registration form, because some people will buy 2 days. They won't buy the whole pass. They'll buy a day, but I kind of let them figure out what day they want to take it. They can go ahead and buy a day, and we write them down as a day pass, and then when they show up, that's their day, and
kind
of go that way with it. Yeah, so
I didn't know if there was something missing on the site that had them select what day or whatever. So,
we try to make that open-ended, Mark. That way people can be flexible. Let's say they want to come in for a day. They were going to come in on Friday, but they can't make it Friday. Saturday's better, and if they change their mind at the last minute, they still haven't lost out. They can at least come in for a day.
Okay, fair enough.
Good.
And just to let you know, being a student of Mark's, his program is like top-notch. I probably came too early in my training because I didn't even know what questions to ask. And
well, that's right. We always can do more questions. That's
I've been looking at the fact that maybe I need to come back and do it all over again as a repeat here. The
certainly
could learn. If you want to learn, and if this is the venue you want to get into, which is Kids Vent, I'm sorry, I'm going to stand up and raise my hand and jump up and down in support of what Mark's done.
Oh, thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
He took a neophyte, and what I took home with him from him, I've been working on for 3 years now. So, I believe it or not, I didn't take notes, but I remembered, and I dare say we've gotten a whole lot better. But he'll probably grade me like he does in July. But I'm looking forward to this. I haven't talked to Ken about how we're going to set up the room yet, but then that'll come in time.
Mark works on our tech department there, helps run sound and helps with the staging area. So not only is he a vent that comes and participates, but he also is a member of our staff and works there with the sound and whatnot. And so we're glad
and
to have him.
And he's a good guy, too,
most of the time.
yeah, he really is. He's a great guy. He works out well for us. So we got a good team established back there on the soundboard. No, not any one person has to stay there for days on end like it used to be, but that's good. We can work them in and out, and everybody gets to see something of the convention. So
terrific.
Yep, works out great. Well, Mark, thanks for that, and I'll send you that check I promised.
Okay, cool. Not a problem.
And
Dan,
what about our check? What is everybody talking about money? Where's ours at?
I don't know. We
I was
going to
say,
get left
you guys,
in the
I told you it was in the mail. You guys didn't apparently didn't get the memo.
Oh.
In the mail.
Yeah, Dan. Now you're like one of my clients, huh?
Yeah.
just a note of appreciation to Dan and Steve for putting Ventriloquist Central together.
Absolutely.
The
wonderful
stuff that you put out there, I've really enjoyed. I still don't own one of your T-shirts, but hey, you know, we'll get there.
Well, maybe you'll win it at this year's convention. There you go.
I had to shrink a little before I could fit into them. So. But
thank you for the compliment, Mark, and great
Mark.
Talking to you. Thanks for calling in.
Mark. Take care of yourself. We'll talk shortly.
You are listening to an exclusive interview found on VentriloquistCentral.com.
Steve, why don't you repeat the numbers for people to be able to call in, just make sure everybody has the availability.
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten a few more late stragglers coming in. So if you want to ask Mark a question, all you have to do is press *7 on your phone, and then you'll be prompted to press 1. And when you press 1, then it'll show up on my little screen here, and then we'll take care of it. And,
okay.
Mark, I think you should mention something that, especially if there's any newbies that are going to be listening to this,
mm-hmm.
you know, the friendly atmosphere. I mean, I've been to a lot of business conventions, and, you know, you're very alienated at those. And the Ventriloquist Convention is nothing like
nothing.
Anything anybody has ever been to. So I just ought to really talk about that because it's like a family atmosphere, and I think that, you know, people that are, you know, sitting on the fence thinking about it, you know, how will I be treated or all of this stuff, I think you really need to bring that up.
Well, I appreciate that. Like I tell people when they ask me what kind of atmosphere, I said it's more like a family reunion than it is a convention because I've never seen a convention like this one myself, and I've been around a lot of them with magic conventions and whatnot. Magic conventions, you got two or three guys in the corner showing each other a card trick, and they won't talk to anybody else. You got the professionals way over here by themselves, and they don't have anything to do with the newbies. I walked into a restaurant not too long ago at our convention, and there was a seasoned professional sitting next to a kid that was 10 years old, sitting next to an older lady that just wanted to learn some vent to entertain her grandkids. And so you look around that table at the diverse group that was there, but nobody was so good not to talk or help somebody else out. And that's what's wonderful about the convention, the sharing and the caring about other ventriloquists and trying to elevate the art. We even have an orientation for new people when they come in. You know, there's nothing worse than coming someplace, you don't know where the restaurants are, the restrooms are, where you can get this or where you go there. So we have this orientation. This year, everybody gets to go to the orientation because it's all going to be new for everybody.
Right. No, absolutely.
So, yeah.
I can attest to that. You know, I remember when I came 6 years ago to my first Van Haven convention, and I was green. I didn't know anybody. Mark, you were so gracious. You helped me get a table when I brought the antique figures and stuff. And
sure.
I mean, it was like people knew me instantly, and I was a friend with everybody. It's unbelievable. And I can talk from experience because my son is a professional magician and I went to so many magic conventions and boy, you get the cold shoulder so much. It's unbelievable. But not
so
with that convention.
Yeah.
This convention, it really is. It's a family. Once you go for the first time, you're a member of the family. And
absolutely.
Right.
We say that. And I also remind people we do have, like any family, have a few strange uncles here or there, but you got to kind of overlook them and know that they're okay anyway. So you just have to keep that in mind.
Okay. All right. Well, Steve, I believe we have some more questions coming in, so why don't you take it away?
Yes, we do, and this may be the person I was going to ask this question, but we'll see if this person is going to ask their own question.
Okay.
We have L.A. on the line. L.A., you're there. Hello?
You talking to me?
Yeah,
I'm not in L.A.
No, this is Marshall. Marshall.
Yes.
Huh? Hi, Marshall.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great, Marshall. Thanks for calling in. What can we do to help you here?
Well, I want to tell a little story, and then I'll give you a situation and see if anybody's ever had anything like this before.
Okay.
I'm a Shriner.
Okay.
And what we do is, of course, we operate children's hospitals across the nation.
Sure.
And I have an Axtell storyteller that has actually been made a Shriner.
Ah.
They inducted him into the shrine. He has his own fez and everything. I mean, and he.
I hope you took him through the Blue Lodge first before he became a Shriner.
Indeed, absolutely. And,
I'm a Mason myself. That's why I said that.
Well, a traveling man, huh?
Yeah, I am.
So, well, I'm glad to hear that. Glad to talk to
thanks.
You.
Thank you.
And I do a lot of stuff with the kids. Well, I just got back from the Shriners Hospital in Tampa today, in fact, and was doing some vent stuff down there with a camel that I have, because camels
Sure.
are, you know, the mascot of the shrine. So I was doing some stuff today down there. But I had this storyteller who I call Elrod, and they have a shrine convention out here at Panama City Beach.
Sure.
And you know how conventions are. There's people everywhere. Everywhere. And I'm doing a walk around with him, and upstairs and downstairs, and just walking around and talking to people, and just, you know, nothing in particular. And I got to talking to this one young man, and he punched him.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You know, we're just talking. And it's like that Punch and Judy thing. And I guess this is for Mark, since you do kids tend to be aggressive towards your puppets? Or is that just a freak accident?
Not usually. They get over-enthusiastic sometimes. I think if you see somebody going to do something like that, you got to stop them immediately. And,
I didn't see it coming.
Of course,
it was just boom.
Yeah,
you know.
He just kind
of
gave you a sucker punch on the puppet there. But, if that's the point where, you know, if you're talking one-on-one, that's the point where you close the show down for that particular person. You can't encourage that kind of bad behavior.
Or I walked away.
Exactly. You did the right thing. Sometimes, you know, they'll try things like that because their parents think some of the things they do is cute, and that's not cute, it's just obnoxious. So sometimes you just have to separate yourself from that person and move on. And hopefully there was a parent there or somebody that said something to the child afterwards.
Yeah, there was.
It's a hard call on that because you don't want to be a disciplinarian, you want to be an entertainer. But there comes a point in time where they violate what you're trying to do. And at that point, you can't really say much to them other than say, I don't appreciate that, or, you know, I don't want you doing that, and just turn around and walking away. The idea is to
this child was probably 10, 11 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't a little kid.
No. He's been a wise guy, and sometimes you get wise guys like that. I know my friend Ron Lucas told me one time, he said, I'm glad, he said, I wish I'd come to your lecture before today. I said, what's that, Ron? He said, well, this has been a number of years ago. He said, I did a kids matinee at one of the comedy clubs I was working. He said, right in the middle of the show, the kids rushed the stage and they tried to pull the arms off Buffalo Billy. He said, I didn't know what to do. Yeah, and they just kind of attacked him in the puppet. And so he had gone to one of my lectures after that, and he said, I wish I had some of those pointers then. And sometimes when you're by yourself like that and with the puppet, you just have to separate yourself from the child. But you don't want to cause a real big, huge deal about it. But on the other hand, you got to let him know that you're not going to give him any more attention. You're not going to try to appease him, so to speak, because he did something bad. Best thing to do is just separate yourself, and it sounds like you did everything that I would have done in that particular
instance.
That's what I did. Then there's nothing more you can do at that point. Move on to a nice boy or girl that appreciates what you
did. I've noticed if you give two kids a hand puppet, they will make them fight. It's that Punch and Judy mentality, I guess. I don't know. But
yeah, they get aggressive with it.
Hello? Apparently, I did the right thing because I said, we can't have this. This is not right. And I just walked away and, you know, went over to somebody else.
You did the right thing. Here's something else you might want to think about. If you have an animal puppet, don't let the kids come up. And first thing you want to do, even if they're not being mean, they're not hitting the puppet, they want to stick their finger in the puppet's mouth, especially if it's a dog or an animal. And you always say, oh, no, we don't ever put our fingers in the mouth of an animal. I said, I'll tell you what I do. I'll give you the part of him that he likes to have. And you bend the head down, let him rub the puppet on the back of the head. Just like a dog. They come up to a strange dog, they stick their finger in his mouth, they're going to get bit. If they rub the back of the head, chances are they're going to be okay. So I always try to teach them that if they come up close to one of my puppets. Never let them stick their fingers in the puppet's mouth if you can help it.
Okay.
Well, I wish you'd have told me that about 15 years ago when I was performing with my Gilmer dog, and I kept having kids try to stick their finger in his mouth.
I know. There's something fascinating about it. They want to see if they can stick their finger clear down the throat of the dog and make him gag, or they just want to see what happens. But on the other hand, you know, just like I said, with the way society is nowadays, you can't reward bad behavior. And there's tons of it out there from the stuff they see on television, the stuff they see just going to school every day. If you can't reward bad behavior, walking away and separating yourself from the situation was the right and honorable thing to do. You did what I would have done, and there's just not much more you could have done with that situation.
Yeah. Right. Well, as I said this morning, I was at the Shriners Hospital in Tampa with a camel, and I was working with this lady who is a volunteer that goes around and plays guitar for the kids. And she's sitting there playing guitar, and she finished a song, and she looked over at my pup and said, "He looks so real." I said, "What do you think I am, a figment of your imagination? You know, of course he's real, you know. Just touch him. He's okay. He's here."
That's it.
You sound like you got
a handle on the kids, and it sounds like you're doing things the right way. And like you said, sometimes there's no easy answer. It's just sometimes separating yourself from the situation, and that's what you did. I applaud you for doing
it. I'm glad to know I did the right thing. Thank you,
you
guys
did.
For having this.
Thanks, Marshall. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Marshall.
See you, Marshall. Bye-bye.
Steve, you said there's still more questions, and we only have about 5 minutes left.
I had somebody contact me. Now, if I can find where I wanted to be. While we were on the phone, Christine Barger from L.A., she's an actress, and she's also a ventriloquist, and she just wanted to know, Mark, are you on Twitter?
Yes, I am. I'm on there, although I'm not as active on Twitter as I should be. I am on Twitter. I just I don't get to it as often as I can, but if she looks on there, I am there.
Okay, so just look under Mark Wade, and she'll find you.
Exactly.
And there's one lady that we've talked to quite a bit. Her name's Janice Hartman, and she couldn't make the call tonight, but she wanted me to ask you a few questions. And one of them was, first off, she wanted to know how you determine your price for a show, and I'll let you try to handle that one.
Well, that's kind of a slippery slope there when you're figuring out prices.
Yeah.
It depends. There's so many different factors involved with it, Steve, when you put that together. You've got to look at where you are, what kind of market you're in. Are you next to a huge metropolitan city? Are you out in the middle of the country someplace where they don't have very much entertainment? You got to see what about driving times to places, because some of the western states, you know, I'd hate to be doing school shows. There's like 100 miles between each school out there. When you get to Texas or Wyoming or someplace.
Oklahoma, so
you have,
or somewhere like that.
Yeah. Here in Ohio, I mean, we got clusters of schools. I can be, you know, all over the place in a short amount of time. But we go about 8 or 10 states is what we travel, and so we try to stay with the ones that have the best driving for us. Like I said, what I would try to do is sample the market. In other words, if you know of a principal or somebody that can gather some brochures for you, get them, lay them down on the table, and go through and see if they have their prices listed, and list the price from high to low, then price yourself somewhere about 3/4 of the way up the ladder. What that does is it doesn't make you the cheapest act in the market, but it doesn't make you the most expensive one either, and it gives you room to grow as the market grows. Because, you know, it's kind of a nice way to position yourself about 3/4 of the way up the price ladder, so to speak.
A lot of the cities have
what
those parent...
you offer the way of show. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I was going to say a lot of the cities have those parent papers, too. And, you know, be the, gosh, I forget, well, in Boston it's called the parent paper anyways. And there's all a whole section on entertainment in the back, and there's all kinds of entertainers, and they list their prices. So you get an idea of what the price is going in that area, so...
That's very good. You know, just like I said, you know, you get a lot more money for like New York City or L.A. than you would, say, out in Iowa someplace.
Right.
It just depends on what the market can bear. You don't want to make it so cheap that it doesn't look like you're worth anything, but on the other hand, you don't want to make it so expensive that you price yourself out. It's kind of a feel your way along in the dark kind of thing. I think it's a good idea to get a reading on what the other acts in the area are doing. So that's not really an answer, but it's about as good as you can do. It's kind of a guesstimate, I guess, on how to price yourself.
Right.
Yeah, it is very tough, and you're basically right on that. You did ask another good question, and this is a good one. I mean, it's a good one for all of us. And she says, what, if ever, do you do to pull yourself out of a funk?
Well, you know, we all occasionally get into a slump. I don't care who you are. Even the big league baseball players get into slumps. You know, and that doesn't mean you're not good. It just means you went through a low period. I try to do this, and it's my own thing. I try to psych myself up for every show. I think any good performer does. But on the other hand, when you go out on stage, you can't let your troubles bother you. You can't, you know, if you had a fight with your wife or your husband, you got to drop that. if you're not feeling good, you got to drop that. You just got to put all of that at the doorstep and pick up those troubles on the way back out the door and give them your best effort. And when you do that, believe it or not, if you're not feeling so well, the adrenaline goes through you and you get out there on stage and you're not feeling bad at all, and then as soon as the show's over with, you feel like crap again. You just feel miserable, and it just it kind of comes and goes on you. I think the best thing to do is to, number one, get as much or more sleep than you need at that particular point in time, because a lot of times it's brought on by fatigue. Number two, lay off the caffeine and sugar for a bit and see if that doesn't help. And number three, just do positive things. My wife is a big believer, and I am too, of reading good positive material. I try to read something and put some good subconscious thoughts in my head before I go to bed. And then I get a few minutes, I get up early before we leave the next day for school shows or what have you, and I try to read something positive there too. So I've got the positive in the subconscious working for me, and believe it or not, when you need it, it comes out of nowhere, and it's there for you. So there's just a couple things that I do.
Great, great. That's fantastic advice, Mark. So
thanks.
Just don't read the political page in the morning.
I try to turn the news off about 9 o'clock at night. I get tired of listening to politicians tell me how much they're going to do for me every year.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Maybe.
Well, Mark, this has been terrific. Thank you so much for allowing us to have you as a guest on Ventriloquist Central Telephone Talk. And I will be seeing you.
One last thing for everybody. Go to the convention.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Yes. Please come to the convention. Dan, I want to thank you, and Steve, you too, for having me on. And you guys do a wonderful service helping us out there every year with the your Ventriloquist Central. And
well,
I still want to see your collection.
Well, one day you will, and it's our pleasure, Mark, and thank you so much again, and we will be seeing you shortly.
Okay, guys, be careful, and thanks to all that called in.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
Hi, everyone. Steve Hurst here, the webmaster for VentriloquistCentral.com, with another bonus tip. You need to go over and check out our other website, www.VentriloquistMarketplace.com. There you can find some great deals on ventriloquist figures, puppets, anything to do with ventriloquism, and even sometimes magic items. If you have something to sell, the Ventriloquist Marketplace is the ideal place to list your item. Plus, if you can't find what you're looking for on the Ventriloquist Marketplace, you can place an ad telling everyone what you want in the classified ad section. So whether you're buying, selling, or you want to trade, the Ventriloquist Marketplace is where you should go. Be sure to check it out at www.VentriloquistMarketplace.com. And if you have any questions or need more help, please send me an email, and I'll be glad to help. Send it to steve@VentriloquistCentral.com. Again, that's steve@VentriloquistCentral.com. For more interviews and information about ventriloquists, the art of ventriloquism, and other ventriloquial topics, go to www.VentriloquistCentral.com.